Well, good afternoon. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you were here yesterday, I mentioned the fact that just spending some time looking at John the Baptist and his ministry and just his life, his relationship with the Lord. And there's a couple of things that God really has spoken to me, it's speaking to me in my own personal life, prayer life, that has just been so encouraging. And so let me give you a little bit, sort of a broad, brief word about John the Baptist that made him so amazing. His first encounter with Jesus was when he was in his mother's womb. And when Jesus, in his mother's womb, came into the room, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb at the presence of Christ, whom he couldn't see with his physical eyes, but he could sense, which I just think is amazing. Says this about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts, goes on and on. The impressive part about that is, you know, a couple of years ago, we did a series for several months about Elijah. What a great man of God and what boldness he walked in, how God stewarded such supernatural things through him, amazing things. And it says about John the Baptist that he went before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So the same kind of anointing and same kind of boldness and courage, bold faith that Elijah had, the same kind of anointing that he carried, John the Baptist carried. He gave the greatest prophecy any person ever gave. And he gave it based on a vision that he saw. When he saw the dove, it says he saw the dove descending, landing on Christ and remaining on him. Nobody else saw it. Now, I'm not sure I'd have given that word. I might have thought, geez, what did you just imagine? Or maybe you had some pizza pepperoni last night. You didn't exactly digest really well. But that's a pretty big word to give on me having a personal vision. I may have even said to the people around me, did you see that? Somebody else, please tell me you saw that. And if they hadn't have, I may have just stayed quiet. But based on a personal vision, John the Baptist gave this word, the most important prophetic word ever given, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He did it more than once. And he saw the dove resting and remaining, and one of the Gospels indicate he heard the Father say, behold, my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. So not only did John the Baptist give the most amazing prophetic word in faith, he heard the audible voice of God. I don't know many people, though there are those who have, I've at times felt like it was almost the audible voice of God, but I can't say for sure I've ever heard the audible voice of God. John heard the audible voice of God. Power and the spirit of Elijah. Jesus said about him, we looked at this some Sunday in Luke chapter 7, that as he had already, we just read, that he was a messenger that God chose to go before him. He was a prophet, obviously. He was the last Old Testament prophet. I believe he was the greatest prophet who ever lived, Old Testament prophet. And then Jesus says about him, of all men born among women, he's the greatest. That's a powerful statement. When you think about all those things that I just said about John the Baptist, since God's presence of Christ, while he was still in his mother's womb, so much so that it made him leap, that's someone sensitive to the presence of God. Heard the audible voice of God, gave this amazing prophecy, the most important one ever, the messenger God sent before to prepare the way for the Messiah, and was of all men born among women, he was the greatest, who lived and moved in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, how many of you would like to have that walk with the Lord? And yet Jesus said, I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is mega, that's the word, mega, than John. Wow. So all those things about John, that he walked in the power and the spirit of Elijah, he could give such prophetic words, he lived such a set-apart life, his intimate sense of the presence of the Lord, greatest among men born of a woman, and yet the Lord says about every one of you that you are greater than John the Baptist. All those things about John the Baptist you'd like to walk in, you're mega of all that. You've got all that and more in you. Why? What's the difference? John the Baptist wasn't in Christ. He is now, but he wasn't when he walked on the earth. Every Christian is in union with the life of Jesus. There's only one man I know of who was greater than the one who is greatest among women. And that's Jesus, the Son of Man, that you're in union with, who absolutely knows how to put your humanity to use because he's forever the God-man. A familiar verse that we've quoted over the years is Romans chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and living to God because you're in Christ Jesus. As wonderful as John the Baptist's relationship with God was, you participate in Jesus' relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's how privileged you are. That's how much you get to take out for a spin. You think the power in the spirit of Elijah was amazing? You have the power in the spirit of Jesus. Think of what that means, the life that he lives to God, the life you now live to God in Christ. Think about what that means in terms of things like anointing, in terms of what you're capable of in Christ, but also in terms of intimacy. You have the same intimate place with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that Jesus has. You participate in that. You're in union with him. I love these verses from Ephesians. It says in this is chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, because you're in Christ, you who were formerly far off have been brought near through the cross. Through his death, your death, his burial, which was your burial, his resurrection, which is your resurrection, you've been brought near. It says in verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near, for through Jesus we have both access in one spirit to the Father. How? Through Jesus. Listen to this. I love this scripture too. Verse 11 and 12, chapter 3. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, in Jesus, we have boldness and confident access through his faith. Through his faith in what? His relationship with the Father. You have bold and confident access in terms of intimacy because you're in Christ, because you can rest in his faith that not only is he accepted, he's celebrated. How fiercely does the Father love Jesus? How fiercely does the Holy Spirit love Jesus? That's what you are participating in. That's who you are. That's your share of, in whom, verse 21 of chapter 2. Well, I'll start verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Now, it's not only that you're God's household, you're also God's house. Having been built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, in Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of the Spirit, of God in the Spirit. You're the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You have Jesus' access and his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Was the Spirit on him? Was the Spirit on Jesus? Well, that same Spirit's on you and remains on you. We don't have to claw for that. We don't have to beg for that. We don't have to plead with that. We can rest in that. We can celebrate that. We can take that out for a spin. Spirit of Elijah, power of Elijah, that's cool. But you carry the Spirit and the power of Jesus, which is better. So, was John the Baptist the greatest born of women among men up to the cross? Yes. But the least of us, the weakest Christian who doesn't really understand who they are in Christ, has the capacity to experience the life, the power, and the intimacy that Jesus shares with the other two persons of the Godhead. So don't ever envy some other believer. Grow from them, learn from them that they see something you can't see, that they get it and you didn't get it, but you want to get it. I don't mean get it, I mean get it. Is there something that your eyes have not been, did they understand something? Because you got what you've got, what they've got. It's just about seeing and believing. So is it good to be prayed for by other people, to be stirred up? Yes, they can't give you anything else. But because they're walking in childlike faith and stewarding more of what they already have, what you already have, can that stir that up in you and release that in you? Yeah. But every single one of us in this room, every Christian that you know that's really struggled, really having a hard time, their life seems to be a series of tragedies and failures and bad choices because of brokenness, they're in Christ just as surely as the most famous Christian in the world, whoever that might be. Probably somebody none of us have ever met or ever heard of. For Christ is all, and he's in all. That's the good news of the good news. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.